I used to walk around and say, I don't judge anyone except Christians.
I remember a magistrate saying, you're not listening to anything we're trying to do, you're going to prison, son.
People are mysteries and also infinitely valuable in that way.
Then they tell you you'll probably be dead within 27 months.
From the Centre for Public Christianity, you're listening to Life and Faith. I'm Justine Toe.
And I'm Natasha Moore.
Sometimes it's as if I'm not here at all.
Is that what it feels like to be one with God?
No one has ever asked me how it feels.
That's a short grab from the film Mary Magdalene. It's made by Garth Davis, who also directed Lion. And Mary Magdalene stars Rooney Mara as Mary and Joaquin Phoenix as Jesus.
Oh, you say his name so well. I never know how to say it.
It's the confidence. You just got to go forth with it.
I believe you.
Now, the film relates Mary's perspective on the events of Jesus' public ministry, his crucifixion and resurrection.
Yeah, and it was really refreshing, actually. We both saw this film, to see these events from a woman's point of view, and one that also offers much more of a personal take on their relationship. You get a sense of that, I think, in that clip.
I got to say, I love that conversation that they have. And without giving anything away, they continue having that conversation right at the end of the film. And at that point, the film's made this really compelling case that Mary's faith in Jesus is actually really liberating for her. I find that a really provocative thought in our age today that is wary of all kinds of authority, but especially religious authority. But yet in the film, it makes complete narrative sense that she would do that. And it's really beautiful and affecting. And let me be clear, this is not a Christian film in any way, shape or form, apart from its subject matter. So that's quite powerful.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful film visually, but also I think relationally. I mean, there's lots of just time where they're kind of relating to one another without words particularly, lots of silence, lots of, gazing and so on in a non-romantic way. But, you know, just a sense of Jesus valuing her and valuing everyone he meets, actually.
Yeah, and taking her seriously, and not just her, but a whole bunch of women who we get the sense weren't really taken that seriously in some ways in that time. But of course, the really big thing we want to know when it comes to films like this is how much is based on historical fact and how much is creative license. So Natasha, you took part in a Q&A for this film. What do we know about Mary Magdalene from the Gospels?
Well, we don't know loads and loads. She does appear in all four of the Gospels, these biographies that we have of Jesus' life. And the main part that she plays, we see her at the cross. She's there at the end when all the disciples have kind of fled, almost all of them, in fear.
All the men,
she's
right?
There at the cross. And she's the first or one of the first witnesses to the resurrection. We do also get this kind of tantalizing glimpse of her a bit earlier in the Gospel of Luke. We're told that she is one of a few women who are traveling around with Jesus, bankrolling him and his disciples and what they're doing. So they're wandering around, and Mary must have been a kind of wealthy, independent woman from Galilee in order to have had the freedom to travel with him and also the independence to kind of fund him.
But that is totally different from the Mary that, well, is often talked about, the woman with a past.
Yeah,
she's got
that's right.
A bit of a reputation.
Yeah, so there's been some confusion about Mary Magdalene. Partly this is because the Gospels are full of Marys. Mary was the most common name in Israel at the time, so there are just a whole bunch of them, and it's easy to get them confused. But it's also that right before we meet Mary in Luke chapter 8, there's another woman who isn't named, who does have a past. She was, a woman of bad reputation or probably a prostitute, who comes to Jesus and anoints him with perfume and washes his feet with her hair. And she, at some point, and particularly in the 6th century by this particular pope, she gets conflated with Mary Magdalene. And so, we even use the word Magdalene throughout, kind of the 18th, 19th centuries in particular, to mean like a reformed woman or a fallen woman as a prostitute. But is actually just a mistake. She was actually a wealthy, respectable woman who, was really, really important in Jesus' story.
Yeah, the film at the end makes mention of the Pope who actually trashed Mary's name for centuries, it turns out. And the film does seem like a deliberate attempt to rehabilitate her image. But as you say, they didn't have a lot of material to work with. So I had the chance to chat with Garth Davis, the director of Mary Magdalene, and this is where we started our conversation. How much was drawn from the Mary of history, and how much did he have to rely on creative license?
Well, it's largely drawn from the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Mary. And then in terms of just enriching and making decisions about all the stuff we don't know about, like her daily life, we just had to understand Magdala, which is a fishing village, and try to get as much information as we could and historical background on how people lived there, how the families existed and worked. So we kind of built up some creative license based on that research. And then kind of slotted into the Gospels along the way.
The story that you tell doesn't go down the Dan Brown line that Jesus and Mary were married. Can you tell us more about why you decided not to do that? It's a popular choice.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things is interesting is like when people try to create a different dialogue for Mary, it's another sexualized dialogue. You know, suddenly she's the lover of Jesus. So I don't know. I don't know if that's helpful or not. When really, I think we just wanted to celebrate Mary as a spiritual figure in her own right. I mean, the film does navigate a very intimate relationship that she has with Jesus, and obviously an immense love she has for him, both as a human being and as this, you know, as a divine person. So, you know, you do feel that we could go down that path at certain points, but ultimately, what these two do together is far more profound than a marriage or a relationship. It's something far greater.
Yeah, well, on behalf of viewers, thank you. It's nice that a woman's not just seen as a love interest, but as a person in her own right.
Well, exactly.
What do you make of the way that Jesus engages with women, both the Jesus that you portray and also the Jesus of history?
Well, I mean, I think for his message to resonate, I think it has to encompass all people, regardless of gender. We're all children of light, or children of God, as he might say. So I think that... you know, what's really interesting about the film is you never see Jesus differentiate through gender at any point, which is, you know, a tricky thing to do. But we made sure that happened, and it's really how other people, project their own ideas of how people should be behaving, I find kind of fascinating. But I think Jesus just saw people as people, and he connected to them on a very human level. And that's what I love about this movie. It celebrates what it is to be a human being.
I thought that was especially powerful because Jesus in the movie treats women as people in their own right rather than how that culture...
Yeah, because I mean, if you were different or if you had an opinion or if you didn't toe the line, often women were called, they were demonic, you know, they were possessed. And I think what was very special about this film is that Jesus was the first person that actually saw Mary for who she was and acknowledged it and said, who you are is amazing and you are already in light. All you need is to have the courage to follow what's in your heart, where everyone else around Mary, even though they loved her and supported her, thought there was something wrong with her and that she couldn't kind of fall into the customs of the time. So Jesus was the person that triggered, gave her the courage to kind of leave and follow her calling.
It's very interesting to watch this film in a time of Me Too. Mm-hmm. What do you think the film has to contribute to the conversation, both to women and to men?
Well, I think it's a great feminist tale, in the sense of it's pretty amazing to see this story told from a woman's point of view, and to see the camaraderie of the women and how much harder it is for them to explore their spirituality in the patriarch that they live in. So I think that's kind of fascinating and very reflective, I think, of cultures today and time today. But also, what's great, I think, and inspiring is that we can all be very inclusive of women and men, and I think we should just, again, just see ourselves as human beings and celebrate that we have the capacity to work together. And so I think it's very timely and a very positive message.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. While he wouldn't consider himself a religious person, Garth Davis, the director of Mary Magdalene, has a deep interest in spirituality. And shooting the film, as he tells it, offered plenty of opportunities to explore that.
Your family says you grapple with the demon.
If there's a demon in me, it's always been there.
There are no demons here. Mary of Magdala.
I hear that often there can be a sense of the spiritual on set for films that are dealing with religious themes or characters. Did that mark your experience of making this film?
I have those experiences through my life all the time, like total serendipities, and like that's just in my life all the time. And I do believe that, you know, we all come together for reasons, and sometimes they're profoundly felt on set. When we were about to shoot the exorcism scene, just before we were about to shoot, the wind just stopped and it went very still, like so still that everyone was looking at each other, and then there was all this lightning and thunder started triggering around, and everyone thought, wow, this is kind of interesting. So I thought I was going to have a Mel Gibson moment where we're going to be struck by lightning. But yeah, there's always things coming out of the universe and out of nature that, you know, I often think the universe is a like a bad actor, like really obvious when it wants to be. I mean, we're doing the exorcism, let's just put on a lightning for you, you know. There's lots of those moments.
What do you make of those moments? Like, what do you kind of look around and go, what's going on here? And
well, for me, they're just affirmations that we're connected to something much greater than what we think. And some people decide to understand that in a specific way. Other people acknowledge it, but don't want to describe it in a specific way. But I totally acknowledge and feel that we're part of something very, very special.
Now, was your wife the spiritual advisor on the film?
She did some work with, she did do some work with Rooney and Joaquin, with another lady who does energetic, kind of not healing, energetic work, like therapy.
So what kind of work would she be doing with the actors?
I suppose it's just to show, like when we're trying to understand the healing aspects of the story, and even if you go into Indigenous communities like in Australia, a lot of the Indigenous people, they call it hands-on work. So there's a belief that through love and through, we have an intuition that we've lost over time, that when we tune into it, we have the ability to heal people. And, you know, so we were drawing on those real life avenues to try and see if these guys could maybe find some sort of connection to that or offer that up.
And it yielded results then?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they both took different things away, but it's just, I suppose, acknowledging and allowing that possibility, and just rather than just kind of saying it's happening from outside of us, that we all actually have the ability to tune into something and maybe it can bring some sort of healing.
People seem really disillusioned with the institutional church today, but from what you're saying, it sounds as though people are hungering for some kind of spiritual existence or spiritual experience.
I think that's what it is to be human. I mean, I think if you go through all of history, we've always had an inquiring mind about who we are and what we're connected to. You only have to stand and look at the stars to feel a spiritual experience if you really tune into it. And I think our lives are just so ego-driven. We're always thinking about the future rather than the moment. And that's what's beautiful about Mary and Jesus' message. It's actually like, it's about being in the moment. It's not about forecasting, like, if I do this, this will happen. It's actually about doing it now in the moment, in complete place of love. And I think it's an incredible message in that way.
Is there something Buddhist in that picture of Jesus?
Yeah, I think, well, that's what I love about this film, is I think it kind of encompasses a lot of different faiths.
I'll be with you. I won't leave.
You are my witness.
What's it like for you as a director to imagine your way into Mary's spiritual journey so you can depict it compellingly, you know, even if you don't share those beliefs that she had?
Well, I mean, I think all the characters act from a place of love. And I suppose you just have to try and surrender to the character and see what comes to you, you know, when you're in that place. I mean, I suppose that's what it is to be an artist. You get this inspiration and intuition from places you don't know where you get it from. It's just, I don't know, it's part of being an artist, I suppose.
But if I can press you on that further, Garth, because like you're a 21st century human being, you're looking into first century, kind of like Palestine, this woman who's discovered what she believes is the key to everything, right? The Son of God, this is what life is truly about. Like, she's making some bold claims as to who Jesus is. Like, are you drawn into that journey as well, even if you don't share those beliefs, or is it like...
Well, no, I'm drawn into the idea of feeling like there's more to life than what we have, and feeling like we're not in tune with it. So with Mary, I can completely relate to her in a sense that, you know, the battle between flesh and spirit, you know, like how do you find a language between those two things? And I think she really felt a spiritual connection to God or to whatever you want to call it. And, you know, just found it, she couldn't express it. She couldn't find a way. So I can relate. I think a lot of people can relate to that. You know, they go through their life in jobs and maybe not even having any time to inquire about their own spirituality. So I think she's very relatable.
Do you find Mary's experience of faith in Jesus somewhat attractive? Like, are you compelled by Jesus in any particular way?
Yeah. I mean, when I read the Gospel of Mary and went into the Gospel of Mark and read this script, I was completely moved by Jesus. Absolutely.
In what way?
Well, just, I mean, that whole idea of unconditional love, I mean, that's how I live my life. And they're all the themes that I'm interested in. Like, Lion, I think, was a story about that. Like, a home is not your biological background. It's about the unconditional love you give someone. And also, I believe that, not to get weird, but I do believe miracles can come from that. You know, I do believe Lion was a miracle purely born out of their complete faith and love they had for that boy, you know, and I think that engineered the universe to make it all happen. So that's a private belief that I have. So, I mean, Jesus for me was someone that was acknowledging a very similar kind of set of themes. So, yeah, I really connected to it.
But as far as the traditional claim that Jesus is the Son of God?
I don't really have an opinion on it, to be honest. But I totally believe that he was both human and divine. And I think that, you know, I really connect to his spiritual messages, absolutely.
We are women. Our lives are not our own.
Your spirit's your own. And you alone answer for that. And your spirit is precious to God.
I'm getting a lot of pretty major reactions from women, you know, very moved by it, in ways that they can't, like, that takes them a while to even talk after the film. Maybe there's a deep celebration of their beautiful spirit and obviously in this case, their contribution. I think also there's a sense of, you know, what would the world be like if we did embrace Mary? And I think that example goes across a lot of historical elements. I mean, the world would be a very different place if she was accepted. So I think it's a complicated response. And there's people who are not religious at all who love the film as well and, you know, really are moved by that sense of unconditional love as well.
From the Centre for Public Christianity, you've been listening to Life and Faith with Justine Toe and Natasha Moore.
Mary Magdalene is in cinemas now. Well, if you're listening to this episode when it's released and not months from now, in which case you can maybe get it on DVD. Do people still do DVDs? I don't know. Try iTunes.
For more interviews on Life and Faith, head to our website, publicchristianity.org, or subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Just type Life and Faith in the search box to find us. And don't forget to leave us a rating or review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, because it helps people discover our show. Next week...
What kind of country is it that we live in when you can't tell a child why his father was killed because you didn't want him to grow up hating white people?